This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Obamacare is officially on the chopping block. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka, it is Friday, May 5th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The House, without any Democratic support, has passed a bill that would repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, but its future is uncertain in the Senate.
President Trump has signed an executive order expanding religious freedoms, but it leaves certain issues unresolved. We'll explain which ones.
Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri, and Oklahoma are coping with massive flooding, and there's still significant flooding in the forecast for St. Louis.
And how to avoid getting caught in a nasty billing cycle by your cable or credit card company.
When you discontinue a product, let's say you cancel your cable bill or your wireless bill, that you're going to get a refund of the unused amount of time. So let's say you cancel on the 5th, so you'll get the balance of the month will be credited back to you. And that's not true.
Consumer advocate Chris Elliott on those maddening billing cycles and how to push back. He's here in about 20 minutes. House Republicans have repealed most of Obamacare. They did it with four votes to spare last evening, marking the first legislative victory for President Trump. It's also a feather in the cap for GOP leaders who failed twice before to pass related measures. Late lobbying and amendments help sway reluctant lawmakers. The passage allows House Republicans to argue that they have delivered on the party's promise to overturn the Affordable Care Act. House Speaker Paul Ryan.
It makes health care more affordable. It takes care of our most vulnerable, and it shifts power from Washington back to the states, and most importantly, back to you, the patient.
The bill passed would end the mandate that most individuals buy insurance and that larger employers must offer insurance to their employees. It also gets rid of the taxes and subsidies, replacing them with tax credits, largely tied to your age, to help folks buy insurance if they don't get it through employers. But the bill could look sharply different after its next phase. So how would the health insurance bill that cleared the House affect you as it stands now? For one, individuals would no longer have to pay a penalty if they don't carry health coverage. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
People who don't receive insurance through their employer would be able to get refundable tax credits based on their age. For example, if you're under 30, you would be eligible for a credit of $2,000 a year, increasing on a sliding scale to $4,000 for those over 60. Second, insurance companies would be allowed to charge their oldest customers more than they do now. Third, insurers would still be required to sell health plans to people with pre-existing conditions, and people could still keep their children on their health plans until age 26. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. On the Medicaid front, by the way, states would have the option of imposing work requirements on many Medicaid beneficiaries who are not disabled, pregnant, or elderly. Starting in October, school and job training would be permitted in lieu of work. Even though the House has passed the GOP bill to repeal and replace Obamacare, their colleagues in the Senate say the bill will face substantial changes in the upper chamber. More now from James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. Jim, will it be easier or harder to get through the Senate?
I think it's harder, but the one thing that I think has been a positive is that Mitch McConnell has managed to get things done. He is a very effective legislative tactician. And thus far, I would point to Neil Gorsuch's confirmation to the Supreme Court. I mean, there was a time where you wouldn't have predicted that you could get Susan Collins, who's arguably the most liberal Republican in the Senate, to vote for the nuclear option, to vote for junking filibusters for Supreme Court nominees to get a conservative on the court. Mitch McConnell was able to get that done. So, I do have some degree of confidence in McConnell's ability to sort of herd cats here. But it is a tough pull. I mean, you do have such a small majority, historically speaking, trying to do a really big thing that's usually done by big majorities.
We're speaking with James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner, talking about what's next for the House health insurance plan. So I know you spoke to Senator John Barrasso from Wyoming, who's also a medical doctor as well as part of that GOP leadership. How does he weigh in on this thing?
Well, you know, there's just, I think a lot of it really comes down to the president and can you get Republican leaders all on the same page? I think that you really are seeing a desire to show that they can get something done, that they can actually govern. I mean, when you have both houses of Congress, when you have the White House, that gives you opportunities, but it also creates pressure and an expectation that you should be able to deliver on your campaign promises.
Is the Senate under any kind of a time constraint here?
Yes, the window for reconciliation is closing. I think it's sometime in June, I believe, that they really have to get this done and be able to pass it through reconciliation. So reconciliation is for things that affect the budget and deficits and revenues. And, it's a process by which you can pass something with 51 votes in the Senate and not be subject to a Democratic filibuster, which would require 60 Senate votes to break the filibuster. And that means that you would need all the Republicans and 8 Democrats, or for any Republican defection, you'd have to make it up with a Democrat. And they just don't seem to have a lot of opportunities to flip these Democratic votes.
What about the political will among Republicans in the Senate versus political will of Republicans in the House?
I think that they've demonstrated a little bit more political will to do this in the last couple of days. I mean, that's really been the thing hampering the health care bill all this time, is that you had, some people say it's as high as 50, other people say it's 20 to 30. You have Republicans who either were not as enthusiastic about a real Obamacare repeal as their campaign rhetoric and past votes would have seemed to indicate, or their districts had become more hostile to certain aspects of repeal and replace. So you've got a lot of people who feel like they're at risk in 2018 and may not want to jeopardize their seats. So it's really been a tough process to get some of these people on board. You know, that's been one of the reasons why there's been so much sort of shade thrown at the Freedom Caucus, is because even though they've really been driving a lot of the shape of the bill because of their philosophical objections to the original legislation, a lot of those guys represent safe seats. So, you know, they're getting reelected with 70%+ of the vote. Mm. So some of these moderates, they really feel like the Freedom Caucus people should be taking more political risks than they are, because they're in a position where they could actually lose their seats, and most of the Freedom Caucus people are not.
It's James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. President Trump has signed an expansion of religious rights. In an executive order announced yesterday, Mr. Trump rolled back restrictions on political activity by houses of worship. That's a decades-old rule that bans tax-exempt groups like churches from endorsing political candidates. It's rarely enforced anyway.
This executive order directs the IRS not to unfairly target churches and religious organizations for political speech.
The order also instructed agencies to consider waiving a requirement that health insurance plans include coverage for contraception if a company has a strong religious affiliation. But the order disappointed some conservatives who had expected more far-reaching measures. For example, not immediately addressed whether religiously affiliated health care providers and social services agencies must allow adoptions by same-sex couples, provide access to abortion, or allow transgender people to use whatever bathroom they want. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the House vote to overhaul Obamacare sends the heavily tweaked and amended package to the Senate, where the bill faces an uncertain fate and certain significant revisions. Even an exuberant President Trump admits that.
Could change a little bit, could get maybe even better. It's a very good bill right now.
The House Financial Services Committee approved the Final Choice Act. It creates a new section of the bankruptcy code specifically targeted at large financial institutions and moves President Trump closer to his goal of repealing the Dodd-Frank Act. After his first face-to-face meeting with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull in New York yesterday, Trump declared they get along great. Turnbull was one of the first foreign leaders Trump spoke to after taking office in January, and at that time the call was described as unfriendly. Both men refute that.
We had a very, very good call. That was little bit of fake news, as the expression goes.
That's exactly right.
Presidential candidates in France insulted each other at their last campaign rallies ahead of the vote on Sunday. Far-right candidate Marine Le Pen promises change from a status quo embodied by her opponent, centrist businessman Emmanuel Macron. He calls her vision for France authoritarian and anti-European. Rivers across the nation's midsection will take days to recede to normal levels after the area was inundated this week. In Arkansas, farmers are still using speedboats to get around their acreage around the Black River, but evacuation orders are starting to be lifted in some areas this morning. Texas could soon have the nation's most stringent law against sanctuary cities. Governor Greg Abbott says he will sign a measure that imposes heavy fines or even jail time on local law enforcement officials who refuse to comply with federal immigration requests to detain those suspected of being in the country illegally. Liquor authorities across Canada are recalling a brand of gin that may contain almost twice as much alcohol as claimed on the bottle. The Liquor Control Board of Ontario quality assurance team discovered some bottles of Bombay Sapphire had not been properly diluted and had an alcohol content of 77%, not 40% as listed on the bottle.
Holy cow. That's a big miss. That's not even close.
That's like, throw it in your barbecue, man.
Oh, wow. Man.
Just in time for the weekend.
Right.
It only shipped to Canada, though.
Okay. Bombay Sapphire. What does that tell you?
Putting the bomb back in Bombay.
22 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. How good of a read do you have on your various billing cycles? These are the mysterious corporate actions to remove money from your bank account on a predetermined day or to return it. While it may be a source of profit to the company, it's also an endless cause of aggravation to millions of customers. As consumer advocate Christopher Elliott explains, there are two billing cycles that really matter. Chris, explain.
Everyone assumes that when you pay a bill that they're going to bill you once a month at the same time, and that's not true. And they also assume that when you discontinue a product, let's say you cancel your cable bill or your wireless bill, that you're going to get a refund of the unused amount of time. So let's say you cancel on the 5th, you'll get the balance of the month will be credited back to you. And both of those, unfortunately, are untrue.
How come you don't get the refund?
It's policy. AT&T is probably one of the worst ones to do this. They will. They say that the cancellation is affected with the billing cycle that you're on. And again, this goes back to kind of the craziness around billing cycles. And so if you cancel on the 2nd of the month, you're going to pay for an entire month's service. And that's just policy. So if people don't know about it and they cancel on the 2nd or 3rd of the month, and they end up paying for an entire month of service that they don't use.
Wow. You talked about this one guy in the story who, I think it was his cable bill with Comcast. He said at first it was due the 24th, and he said then over the course of the next 12 months, the date moved to the 23rd. Then the 20th, and then finally after a year was up, it was at the 17th. He said a full week earlier. How does that happen?
They do it because they can. They're trying to arrange the billing cycles so that it's to their advantage. So they keep moving those dates. And just as an update, I heard back from that guy after the story ran, and he said they moved it again on him.
Wow.
So they are doing this because it makes sense from an accounting point of view to keep billing earlier. Remember that the sooner they have that money, the more money they have in the bank. And if you do that and spread it out, scale it up over all of your customers, then you are actually making a significant amount more because you have that money already. And so that's what they're doing. And again, they say this is their policy, but it really is they're just doing it because they can.
Mm. We're speaking with Chris Elliott, consumer advocate. He's written a piece called What You Don't Know About Billing Cycles Will Blow Your Mind. So when a company like your cable company moves your date up by a day or two or maybe a week, you can call, I presume, and push back on that and say, listen, I really need that other date or give me a different date completely?
Absolutely. And I talked to people who did that successfully. Unfortunately, like I just mentioned, sometimes the company will just undo that the next billing cycle around, but you have to be vigilant. Now, a lot of people don't even pay attention to when their credit card gets billed or when their checking account has something drawn from it. And that would be actually my first piece of advice, is to watch when the money gets taken out. And then if you're not comfortable with that, then call the company, whatever the company is, cable, wireless, you name subscription television, whatever. you call them and you say, you move my date and I want you to move it back. And they often will do that.
Consumer advocate Christopher Elliott. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Ready for hundreds of millions of potential new customers? Come to a two-day conference in Detroit in June to hear about Alibaba, the Chinese version of what's described as Amazon plus Google. Today, China represents an unprecedented opportunity for American business owners and entrepreneurs. Alibaba, an e-commerce platform, can connect you with 500 million consumers. You can buy and sell anything. Learn more about the worldwide marketplace of Alibaba at Gateway 17, June 20th to the 22nd. Meet experts, make relationships, and learn from companies already in China. You'll also hear Jack Ma, the ultimate entrepreneur and China expert. Gateway 17 has limited availability, but our listeners can save 50% off the registration fee by going to gateway17.com and using the code DEAL when you register. That's gateway17.com, GATEWAY17.com, and enter DEAL. 50% off the registration fee, but only if you use DEAL when you sign up at gateway17.com.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, May 5, Cinco de Mayo. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The House passes on Obamacare replacement. Trump expands religious rights. Parts of the Midwest coping with massive flooding. Significant flooding still ahead for St. Louis. Sad and crazy story, by the way. The U.S. Army has released the final photo of a combat photographer who captured the explosion that took her own life. Football player Michael Orr of the Blind Side fame is cited for assaulting an Uber driver in Nashville. And the strategy for a good seat at the annual Berkshire Hathaway shareholder meeting. That story in about 20 minutes. House Republicans have repealed most of Obamacare. Late lobbying and amendments help sway reluctant lawmakers.
Obamacare's dead. So when you compare something to Obamacare is no longer living. And we have something that's going to be, I think, one of the best anywhere in the world.
It's not clear if it'll pass the Senate. Let's get some analysis about how this all may shake out. We're joined now by Roger Abramson, General Counsel for Ameriflex, one of the nation's largest independent health benefits administrators. He's with us live this morning. Morning, Roger. First off, do you like the idea of replacing Obamacare?
There are issues with Obamacare, and folks on both sides of the aisle will certainly acknowledge that, Democrats more in closed-door meetings. But, there are things that need to be changed and adjusted. We are seeing some folks in certain states having issues with it, and insurers having issues with it. Most recently, of course, we all know in Iowa, where we're down to one, possibly zero, carriers. Now there's some arguments about why that's happening. Everybody's agreed that there needs to be some changes. What people aren't agreeing on, we've talked about this, is what those changes need to be. There are certain things about Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that most Americans are okay with if you talk to them about it, and that is, of course, prohibition on pre-existing condition exclusions and a few other things as well. But the problem is the 60% of Obamacare that people don't like are all different things, and that's where Republicans are having some issues getting some agreement on that.
It does seem like the pre-existing conditions rule is arguably the most important one.
Absolutely. I've often said pre-existing conditions is sort of the holy grail of the American healthcare system. If somebody could resolve that, then we'd be in good shape. The fact of the matter is, most Americans want something like that. Who's going to pay for it and how remains the question. The good news, in a sense, if we want to be a little optimistic about this, is that we're sort of victims of our own success in a way. I was thinking about this. One of the reasons healthcare is expensive is because we've got a lot of great stuff. Over the last 50 to 75 years, we've had pharmaceuticals, wonder drugs, surgical procedures that do amazing things. Jimmy Kimmel, of course, the late night talk show host, was in the news recently talking about his infant who had a issue with his or her heart. Well, 100 years ago, unfortunately, that child would never have made it.
Yeah.
And we have amazing amazing procedures today. Well, that's high demand. We have great stuff. But now the question is, how in the world are we going to pay for this and give it to everybody? We're still looking for that way. So in a way, it's a good problem to have if we want to really get philosophical about it. But boy, the Senate's going to have a lot of issues with this bill, I think, because it really does not necessarily guarantee that pre-existing condition exclusion prohibition.
All right. You hinted at it a little bit. I want to follow up with the with the great research and development that's led to some of these miracle drugs, as you say, but they just seem so unbelievably expensive sometimes.
Absolutely.
Is it justified? Because, listen, the rest of us who are down here lower on the totem pole are looking at these healthcare executives making millions and millions of dollars as CEOs.
Yep. You know, the healthcare industry, healthcare executives, and I guess I'm in that area. I don't know if I'm executive necessarily, but in that world, I'll tell you what, talk about being bad at PR. They need to get better at it. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, they sell some wonderful things. Sometimes maybe it's not so great, but, you know, it is very, they're going to have to find ways to refute those arguments. You know, when you sell a drug for X amount, $500 a month, whatever that may be, you know, then, you know, and there are folks who can't necessarily afford that but may need it. But then you have an executive who makes seven, maybe even eight figures in some cases.
Right.
That's a political problem. They're going to have to figure that out. And again, and it's an easy drum for Democrats to beat on. And if I were a Democrat, I'm kind of an independent myself, I would certainly beat on that drum as well.
We're speaking live this morning with Roger Abramson, general counsel for Ameriflex, one of the nation's largest independent health benefits administrators. How about the logistics for a company like yours if, in fact, this bill winds up clearing the Senate and is signed into law by President Trump?
Well, for a company like mine, very selfishly speaking, we tend to dabble a little bit more in the self-insured world, which are these sort of account-based plans like health savings accounts and that sort of thing, although we certainly touch on insurance. Very selfishly speaking, it's probably a bit helpful. But for insurers who are kind of in the more traditional market, the issues they're going to have, there's going to be change where you have the obvious issues you have to deal with any kind of transition. Their stress is going to be purely consistent with how much this is going to help their, just glaring losses.
Yeah.
And if they feel like that they've got their losses taken care of, the so-called stability that insurer in out of Iowa is talking about, then I think they'll be okay with it. But really, it's a question of, we know if there's a new bill and it passes, we get a new law, we know it will be changed. But what we still don't know, because the Senate hasn't played with it yet, is what that change is going to be. And that's the $64,000 question. And I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing a few minutes, Roger. Roger Abramson, general counsel at Ameriflex. It is 19 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Good Friday. Time now for our weekly recap of what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. We're joined now by Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith, who's with us live. Good morning, Charlotte. Why is Chipotle on the list?
Good morning, Gordon. And Chipotle is on the list this week because they announced that they're adding dessert to the menu, starting with Buñuelos, a fried tortilla strip coated in honey and cinnamon sugar, served with an apple caramel dipping sauce. Sounds great, but other people thought so too, because searches for Chipotle menu spiked 200% above any other fast food restaurant after the menu change.
You read that, by the way, like you had just walked up to my table after the dishes had been cleared. I was ready to buy. I was ready to buy around for like the whole restaurant. Your little dessert pitch there. How about the Met Gala?
Okay, so this week was the Met Gala, and it brought dozens of celebrities and avant-garde designers to New York. It's one of fashion's fiercest nights, except nobody actually dressed to the theme. This year's theme was the art of the in-between. And the actual designer, so Rei Kawakubo, is one of the most famous avant-garde designers ever.
What's his name?
Rei Kawakubo.
But he's really famous, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, famous in the art community, at least. And,
okay.
You know, this year's Met Gala was notable for a number of reasons. But for me, what takes the cake is that P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, whatever he calls himself, laid down on the red carpet in a floor-length cape. And that just happens. He just walked in.
I made a point on the show the other day about what Kendall Jenner wore or what she didn't wear. Like, she had just giant piece of mesh draped over her that exposed her thong and all that.
Maybe she is trying to be a Pepsi.
Oh, you're right. Very good. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like that. British royal family making news as well.
Yes, this was a big week for the British royal family. It was Princess Charlotte's second birthday, but meanwhile, it was announced that Queen Elizabeth's husband, Prince Philip, will end his public appearances in coming months, retiring at the young age of 96. One of our top trending questions this week was, what does the British royal family do?
Yeah.
Excellent question, but spoiler alert, they don't actually have governing power.
Yeah,
the Queen actually isn't allowed to vote.
They just attend events and look nice. Who's your we're running out of time. Who's your pick in the Kentucky Derby, by the way? Are you making a pick here?
I am. That would be Classic Empire. He's generally favored to win, but his two major quirks are stopping short of the finish line and refusing to go at all. So
that is a problem in a race. Very much a problem in a race. I'm disappointed that you're picking the favorite. I mean, come on, Charlotte.
Well, it's the actual favorite has been accurately predicted for the last 4 years. So the odds are in my favor.
You're so prepared sometimes. It's unbelievable. Thanks for a few minutes, as always. Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. Hey, Gletcher with us. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, by a highly partisan 217-213 vote, the House of Representatives voted to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. 20 Republicans voted no. The hurdles are already being set up for the Senate battle over it. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan knows this.
Today was a big day, but it is just one step in this process, an important step. We still have a lot of work to do to get this signed into law. And I know that our friends over in the Senate are eager to get to work.
Dropping water levels along the Merrimack River means some residents of Valley Park, Missouri, can start going home this morning. Part of the town was evacuated Monday over worries a nearby levee wouldn't hold. 7 levees along the Missouri River have been overtopped by water. 7 more have been breached, with water pouring through them, most of it onto farmland. Residents across Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Illinois, and Louisiana are looking forward to this weekend's drier weather to let floodwaters recede. Letting Islamic State militants spread propaganda freely on social media amounts to providing it material support. That's the basis of a lawsuit by families of 3 victims of the San Bernardino shooting rampage against Facebook, Google, and Twitter. Theda Salazar is the attorney representing the families.
Social media has been very, very monumental in allowing these communications to take place. And there has to be more regulation going forward, or else we'll have more funerals.
Sayed Rizwan Farooq shot up a holiday gathering of co-workers in December 2015, killing 14 and wounding 22 others. Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $110 million in a cancer case. The money will go to a Virginia woman who says she developed ovarian cancer after decades of using the company's talc-based products. The suit's one of 2,400 the company is facing for not adequately warning consumers of the cancer risks of such products, including its baby powder. Montana State University wants to help students manage stress levels during finals week, so it brought in a therapy animal. Oliver, an 8-year-old donkey, hung out by the university library this week, where students were encouraged to pet and hug him.
Very nice. A donkey.
Therapy donkey. It's a thing.
Okay. I'll leave that to the millennials. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. It's no secret that shareholders of Berkshire Hathaway and fans of the company's chairman, Warren Buffett, line up for hours to get into CenturyLink's main arena in Omaha for their annual gathering, which takes place this weekend. The Wall Street Journal says the effort to get prime seats is best described as extreme Buffetteering. A guy who flies in from Australia stays in Council Bluffs, Iowa, instead of a hotel in Omaha to avoid any potential traffic. He waits for the middle doors of the arena to open before hustling to his preferred seat. Says the end doors sometimes don't open as quickly. This chaotic sprint, known as the Billionaire's Dash, shows no signs of fading, even if arena security is not so happy about it. By the way, a $1,000 investment in Berkshire in 1965 when Mr. Buffett took control would be worth more than $13 million today. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.